Now, you've been working on something of a trial on Bredy Island called a virtual power plant, something that we in South Australia also look like getting one of quite soon. So can you explain what it is and how it works?
So on Bredy Island, it's a small virtual power plant, if you like. We have 33 households with PV and battery systems installed as part of this trial. Bredy Island only has some 500 or 600 houses on the island as it is. But the load, the demand on Bredy Island fluctuates a lot. It goes up quite high on public holidays and long weekends and particularly cold days. And so what we're doing in this project is we're using the PV and battery systems to help manage load on the island. And we're doing that via a fairly sophisticated optimization algorithm, which works out the most valuable battery systems to use at any particular point in time to meet that island demand. We chose Bredy Island because for a number of reasons, but it already has a problem in that the load on the island exceeds the capacity of the cable to supply it. And so the network operator, TAS Networks, who is a partner in this project, has a diesel generator which they take to the island in anticipation of the peak period, and they use that to run to meet those peaks. And so it actually doesn't require a large number of battery systems in this case to help manage the peak, so they don't have to run the diesel or they use it less.
Right. Because obviously diesel power is going to be a lot more expensive than solar power stored in batteries. And so have you done the maths on the costs of this over the life of those systems?
It's really hard to do the costing on an individual battery without looking at an individual household's
usage,
consumption patterns, and not just how much energy they use, but when they use it. And that makes the equation for a householder in making the decision on whether it's a good decision, to install a battery or not, quite difficult, because they have to really understand their own load.
Yeah.
We, in fact, subsidised the batteries quite significantly to make sure that we got the uptake required to run this trial effectively. It's a research project that's funded by the Australian government, ARENA. We subsidised the batteries significantly to make sure we had them operating to meet our needs. And then we offer an amount of money for each peak event that occurs on the island to that householder as an incentive or a compensation for participating, for having a battery being used to support the network.
Right. So not only they get subsidised batteries installed, but they also get paid for delivering that power into the system.
Yes. But yeah, I think everyone recognises that longer term we're going to have a lot of batteries in the system. The economics is changing fast, as I'm sure you're aware. And people will be installing batteries on their own finances. But we'll be still looking, the networks and the power system will be looking to use those batteries and will pay in some way for them to use. So that's what we're trialling here.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like, quite likely to be a way forward in many situations. And I guess if you can spread the cost over a community rather than each individual consumer only consuming their own power, and you can spread the usage of that power, that must be more efficient.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And what we see is a future where there are literally millions of batteries installed. And South Australia will be, is leading the way in deployment of technologies like this because of the, very high solar penetration and a recognised need for a way to manage networks better or manage the energy system better. And yes, in my view, households will have a battery which they will be able to use to store solar and then use when they need it later, but they'll get an additional benefit if they allow that power to be used, and so we pay customers more than what they would have otherwise got for using that energy locally if they use that to help support the power system and the network. And I think this is where there's a lot of excitement around virtual power plants, where you can collect a have a collection of batteries, you know, in South Australia, maybe 40,000-50,000. We don't know I don't know exactly what the trial will end up consisting of, the big one. And those are used collectively to help manage the power system. But the big difference between what is being proposed in a lot of virtual power plants, probably including the large one in South Australia and what we're doing on Bruni, is you don't always need all of those batteries to be used at the same time, and sometimes some batteries will be better to use than others. And so we on Bruni have developed software to essentially work out how many of the batteries you need and which ones are best to use, most cost effective to use at any point. For the network, depends on where they are in the network, what the customer would otherwise be doing with that energy, what their load is, and some other, there's some technical constraints that mean that some can be used in the network when others can't.
Right.
And so I think even with the Salisbury trial, there's been some early data which has suggested that if you attempt to use all of the batteries at once, you could actually run into a problem. So you need to coordinate the use of them. And that's really what we're doing on the Bruni. That's what it's most
important. One thing that's puzzled me a bit about this this kind of scheme is that if there's a demand on power due to there not being much available renewable energy for one reason or another, and that's when you're most likely to be wanting to use the batteries, isn't the householder going to want to use their battery at that time?
Well, quite often household load aligns with network demand, so a peak load in the evening at a household level coincides with the system demand, but not always. And so, yes, the householder would want their energy and to use it when they need to use it, but if it's more valuable to the network or the power system at some other time, then the householder, most householders, if they're paid more to allow it to be used by the electricity network, would be happy for it.
Right.
For that to happen. And actually, that's another element of a good segue. The project on Bruni, there's a large social science research aspect to the project, because we're actually interested to know A, what people that have this technology installed think of the technology, what their view is of having it used by a third party, by the network in this case, and whether that changes their energy use behaviour as a result.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think also in South Australia with that proposal that people will sign up to it knowing that that's what they're agreeing to. You know, in return for having those batteries supplied either free or with a subsidy. A lot of people have already invested in batteries as backup for their solar systems.
Yep.
Is it feasible for those people in the future, that is people who already have installed batteries, to become part of a virtual power plant in the same way?
It's certainly feasible. It will depend on what battery and inverter technology they have already purchased, because you need to sort of interact in an advanced virtual power plant type model. You really need to have something that has good communications, that's able to take input data, like weather data, for example, and make intelligent decisions rather than what some of the battery systems are doing, which is making a fairly simple decision based on whether there's more generation than load at a given time and drawing or discharging. So it's sort of hard to say yes or no, but it's certainly feasible that many of them could. And in fact, there are some systems that could be retrofitted with a bit of hardware that allows them to have that level of communication and sophistication to interact with a virtual power.
Most of the batteries now being installed are lithium-ion types.
Yes.
Do you think these are going to continue to dominate the market, or are there other types of batteries coming up that might be more suited to domestic installation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think lithium-ion will dominate for the next 5+ years. And the fact that the global manufacturing industry for batteries is just gearing up so heavily in that respect means that it'll continue to push those prices down as the manufacturing capacity expands, this so-called manufacturing learning effect. But lithium-ion batteries, one of their great advantages is that they are relatively lightweight for the amount of energy and power capacity that they can deliver, and so they are really ideally suited for electric vehicles. I think we'll see a range of new technologies, for example, sodium-ion batteries, which are heavier, that may be more suitable for stationary energy, for household battery systems. But then there's a series of other technologies, sulfur, lithium air batteries, which they're in the research stage at the moment, which may become a dominant technology in another decade's time.
Doesn't the output of a lithium ion battery sort of decrease over its lifetime?
Yes. What really changes is the capacity, the amount of energy that it can store. And we're already seeing from early data, very early data, because there haven't been many household battery systems installed, that the amount of energy they can store during the day and then discharge during the night is just starting to gradually decrease, even though after only a year of operation. That's kind of factored in, or should be factored into any economic decision that's made. But it's a limitation that's growing.
But just one other thing to do with the economy of it. Rather than individual households installing batteries, wouldn't it be a cheaper alternative to install community-based larger batteries that everyone can access?
Potentially, yes, but under the current electricity tariff framework, the decision is really to being driven towards installing one behind the meter, because if a community battery which was in a location where there was a load, so it could be offsetting the energy that would otherwise be purchasing retail energy, then maybe yes. But large batteries in the network that aren't connected to some sort of load, it's harder to make the economics stack up. It's kind of the same reason why actually in Australia solar PV systems were like the vast majority, 95% of capacity was installed on rooftops, because they were effectively competing with the retail price of electricity, whereas large utility scale plants, which are coming to the fore now, they're more competing with the wholesale price of energy. And so the cost, you have to wait till you go further down the cost curve before that becomes competitive generally. That's not to say that with a change in the pricing structure that a community battery might not be able to realise the same value as household battery.
I guess it's a developing area. Just finally, if I'm going to install a battery for my 5-kilowatt solar system, what factors do I need to consider when making that decision as to whether I should install one or not?
The main factors, I'd say, are how much energy you use in your household and when you use it. And if you've already got a 5-kilowatt solar system on your house, you may have access to data at a half-hourly time interval to be able to see that, to see how much energy you're effectively selling back to the grid at a low price.
Yeah.
The other big factor is what tariff you're paid and what tariff you're paying for electricity. Those are the two main drivers, because it determines how much energy you could store and use later, and what the financial benefit of doing so is.
But generally speaking, would you say that in the major metropolitan areas in Australia that it's not we're not yet at the point where a battery is going to pay for itself over its lifetime or over the time if it's guaranteed?
I think it's getting very close. If you're on a time of use tariff, which is where the cost of buying energy in the evening is quite a lot higher than during the daytime, and you're a household which is out during the day generally and uses your uses energy in the evening, then it probably already would be cost effective. If your load is spread out throughout the day and you're not really a high user of energy during the evening, and if your tariff is not a time use tariff, then perhaps not.
Could be quite complex to work out.
It is. It is actually quite. You really need to have. And so this is one area where retailers of battery systems and PV systems are becoming smarter, becoming more able to make that sort of calculation and advise you, but they will generally, to do it well, need some kind of idea of, of the, so the tariff part is easy, working out what tariff you're on, but working out when you use load
usage,
and
how much you use it. All right, then, food for thought, and I'm sure that this whole area is going to change a lot over the next couple of years, so we might check back with you later.
Yeah, well, it's changing almost daily now, isn't it?
It is.
Politics away.
Thanks very much for talking to Radio Adelaide.
My pleasure. Thank you.